All right, now it's time for Oh, the Humanities, taking a look at humanities scholarship events and research on campus and, of course, now online. Carolina Public Humanities is your source for humanities scholarship and events on campus. Humanities.unc.edu is their website. All of their events having to go online now, but there's still several coming up, including one later this week that we're going to be talking about with Joanna Smith, who joins us from Carolina Public Humanities on the phone. Joanna, thank you so much for being with us today.
Happy to be here.
So tell us about this this event that's coming up on Wednesday, 6:30 to 8 p.m. And if you're listening out there, you can go to the website and sign up for it online. But this is an issue that I think is near and dear to a lot of us in this community that are hoping to get back to normal as soon as possible. One of the things that means is getting back to going out and eating in restaurants again. But of course, normal isn't going to be for a long time. And even when the restaurants start reopening, they're going to look very different. So this is an event coming up in a couple of days, panel discussion on restaurant culture in a post-pandemic world. What does that entail?
So it does. It seems like one of the most important things we can be talking about right now, because the ripple impact of restaurant closures has been enormous. And so in this event, we really want to take a kind of comprehensive look at what has been impacted by closures in the restaurant industry right now. And so to get a broad range of perspectives, we're going to be talking with not only a restaurant owner and a chef, but also a culinary instructor who's training chefs for a now somewhat uncertain future. Speaking with a farmer, Laura Stewart from Haw River Mushrooms will be with us, and she's going to be talking about the impact of restaurant closures on farmers who have built up these relationships with specific chefs and are used to selling directly to them. So we're going to be grappling with those challenges, trying to think really generatively about what opportunities are ahead in a moment of transformation like this, and how restaurant owners and simply community members can be stepping up and taking part in the decisions that are going to shape what restaurant culture looks like after this pandemic.
I assumed there would be a farmer involved. I know that every time I speak with folks in restaurants over the last couple of weeks, and they've all said the same thing. It's not just me. It's not just my staff. It's also the distributors and the drivers and the farmers that we work with that are being affected as well. I did not think about culinary schools. So what are they expecting to do as we move forward? Because you're right, we're going into a kind of an uncertain future where things are going to change, but we know not what.
Exactly. And, you know, from conversations I've had with Stephen Hertz, one of our speakers so far, it sounds like they were able to transition to remote teaching for the end of this semester, and that didn't really interrupt instruction. But, you know, depending on what things look like in the fall, I don't know how you go about teaching the culinary arts at a distance for the long run. So we'll be curious to hear his perspective on that. It sounds like his students, although they are apprehensive about what lies ahead, are also very excited about possibilities. I think the restaurant industry is already a daunting place to break into. And so I think for them, there are possibilities that maybe weren't there before.
Yeah, you've mentioned opportunities and possibilities for the future. What are some of those?
You know, I have been so struck by seeing the kinds of new collaborations and really profound community building that has been happening around restaurants during this time. And, you know, in particular, the way that restaurants have been finding ways to connect with other community resources, you know, partnering with Meals on Wheels to say, okay, our kitchen has to be closed, but we have this staff, we have this space, how can we be using this to help the community? And I think it's amazing to see folks rallying around local restaurants that they feel really committed to supporting. And so I think this is a moment where we are seeing consumers forced to step up in a very different way to support local businesses. And I for one, am very optimistic that that will carry forward.
speaking with Joanna Smith. Again, Carolina Public Humanities. Find them online at humanities.unc.edu. They've got a number of upcoming events, and we'll talk about others in a couple of minutes. But this one is on Wednesday, a couple of days from now, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Restaurant Culture in a Post-Pandemic World is the name of it. And you can register online again at humanities.unc.edu. So the title refers to restaurant culture, which to me suggests not just the business model and the relationships that are developing, but just the experience of going to and eating at and opening up and working at a restaurant and being in that industry and participating in that industry from any kind of different perspective, that the experience of that is going to change. How might it change? How might restaurants look differently or feel differently when all this is done?
You know, we're all speculating right now, of course. One of the loudest voices during this in terms of kind of public conversations around restaurant futures has been David Chang, who has predicted that this is going to accelerate a shift that was already taking place towards takeout as the more dominant mode of people eating out. But I've also heard pushback against that and have heard people saying that actually a moment like this might force a bit of a reckoning with consumers realizing how important and vital a part of our culture restaurants actually are, and seeing more of a shift towards a somewhat European model, say, where a long dinner out with friends becomes more of a special thing to be appreciated now that it has been threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where, in my mind, the humanities are such a helpful tool in grappling with this, because we can have historical context and we can have global comparison. And so we will be joined on Wednesday by Margaret Norman, who's a food scholar in American Studies at UNC Chapel Hill. And I think she's going to be able to help us think very broadly about what kind of values are getting negotiated during this time.
And the historical perspective is important as well, because we have been through something like this in the distant past. To go back to 1918 with the flu epidemic, that epidemic forced a lot of closures and cancellations and whole-scale changes to the way people lived their everyday lives. And then you come out of that, and I mean you come out of that into a decade in the 1920s where people actively defied a constitutional amendment and just reveled in going out as much as humanly possible. So how
exactly.
Does that, like, how, what happened in 1918 and what happened after that in terms of restaurants?
You know, I'm afraid that history is outside of my wheelhouse, but I'm very much hoping that Margaret is going to be able to give us some perspective on that. And may also be able to speak to some of the key differences between the restaurant scene then and the restaurant scene now. And, you know, one thing that I continue to hear from folks inside the industry is that commercial real estate prices now are so prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there is a broad fear that the kind of bounce back that may have been possible at different times in American history may not be possible now simply because of the economic framework we're working within.
So this is going to be on Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., and it's an online forum. You can register for it online, humanities.unc.edu. Are there going to be speakers or panelists that we haven't touched on yet?
We are going to be joined by a restaurant owner. I'm going to pause on giving a name on that because we have a few contenders, but things are so up in the air in the industry right now. Folks are so busy. We may have a last-minute change there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to say, actually, this event will be at 5, from 5 to 6:30 on Wednesday.
Did I get the time wrong? 5 to 6:30. Okay, sorry about that. Again, humanities.unc.edu for more information on that. Speaking with Joanna Smith, that event is coming up in a couple of days. There are several others that are also coming up, including one, a Humanities Happy Hour on Religious Traditions of Solitude, which is particularly timely now, I guess, as we're all staying at home. What's that one going to entail?
So that one is going to be fantastic. That one is near and dear to my heart, as I'm a scholar of religion. We'll be kind of taking a really broad survey of different religious traditions that have really valorized cultivating practices of solitude as a way to either get in touch with the divine, to achieve internal enlightenment, to settle the thoughts. And so we will have a scholar thinking about anchorites, medieval nuns who lived in solitude but within cities. We'll be hearing a bit about Buddhist monastic practices. We should be hearing about transcendentalism. And I think at this moment in particular, it's just a very interesting time to be in dialogue with people who have chosen to be in solitude when we, of course, are forced into it.
Of course, those are very like far down the road examples of solitude. Are there traditions or practices that are going to come up in this conversation of just promoting the idea of solitude just in general, even for people who aren't living the monastic life but might want to seek times of solitude just in their regular everyday lives as well?
Absolutely. And this is where I think that transcendentalists in particular will be a bit of a humanizing conversation partner, because, of course, Thoreau is going on meditative walks around Walden Pond and then still going to his mother's house to hang out and do laundry. So showing examples of how contemplative solitude can be a very important part of what is still a richly social life.
And again, humanities.unc.edu for more information on that. And again, the Restaurant Culture in a Post-Pandemic World coming up this Wednesday from 5 to 6:30. I had the time confused with the event on Thursday this week. 5 to 6:30 p.m. You can sign up for that at humanities.unc.edu as well. Anything else going on that folks want to know about?
We also have an event coming up on Thursday, April 30th. That one is from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and that one is called Think Fast, COVID-19 Mental Health and Well-Being. And that is co-sponsored with the UNC General Alumni Association. And that will be a panel discussion focused on mental health during COVID. There will also be a smaller group conversation next Wednesday that, if you're interested in, you can register for online, called Talking Humanities, that will be focused on an article about humanities in a time of crisis. And I think, as you can see from all these events, we're really trying to turn our attention to ways that the humanities can help us to accept the parts of this that are outside of our control, but also to be really deliberate about how we're shaping our response to it.
Humanities.unc.edu for more on all of those events from Carolina Public Humanities. Joanna, thank you so much for being with us today.
It was a pleasure.